Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Another suitor for the journal?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. There could be another bidder for the Dow Jones & Company, which publishes the Wall Street Journal, Philadelphia Media Holdings, which also owns the Philadelphia Inquirer and other papers, has expressed an interest. CEO Brian Tierney says if there's a formalized bidding process, they would take part. However, he says his company would take part with other investors, declining to make a bid on its own. Mixed signals in Asian markets today, although stocks closed up in Shanghai. In Tokyo, the Nikkei rose 12 points. European stocks mixed in early trading. Worries about low worker productivity and inflation since stocks tumbling on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow dropped 129 points to 13,465. The Nasdaq sagged 24 points. It opens today at 2587. And the S&P slipped 13 points to 1517. The Pentagon's largest foreign supplier is engulfed in fresh allegations of bribery. The British company BAE Systems has been accused of secretly making multi-million dollar payments to a Saudi prince. Stephen Beard reports from London.
A BBC television show has made the allegation. It claims that BAE paid more than $200 million a year for a decade to Saudi Prince Bandar bin Sultan. He played a key role in negotiating an $80 billion arms deal between BAE and Saudi Arabia in the 1980s. He was, for more than 20 years, the Saudi ambassador to the U.S., and he's alleged to have received the secret payments through a bank account in Washington. Prince Bandar refuses to comment. BAE insists it never made any illegal payments. The allegation is hugely embarrassing for the company. It has, in recent years, tried to turn itself into more of an American firm. Members of Congress had already been pressing for the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This could be a do-or-die day for the Senate immigration bill. Majority Leader Harry Reid says he'll hold a vote as soon as today to cut off debate. Some see this move as a way to keep many Republican amendments out of the bill. It's another test for a fragile bipartisan committee on a bill that would legalize 12 million illegal immigrants. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
The immigration bill is like a wobbly house of cards, and senators are making it even more unstable with a series of amendments.
There's two kinds of amendments in this debate. Some are fine-tuning, and other are deal-breakers.
Daniel Griswold of the Cato Institute says there's a fragile coalition holding the bill together.
If some essential elements get changed in a fundamental way, that coalition very well could fall apart.
One amendment that was narrowly defeated would have made illegal immigrants who defy deportation orders ineligible for legal status. Some businesses would want to hire those people. Others want to be sure they can continue sponsoring immigrants for specialized jobs. Robert Hoffman lobbies for Oracle and other high-tech businesses which support the immigration bill.
This is fundamentally about keeping talent here in the U.S. to innovate and to job create.
He says if the bill doesn't pass, jobs may go overseas because companies here won't be able to find enough workers. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Are you tired? The International Labor Organization may have the answer. It says 600 million people around the world work excessively long hours, more than 48 a week. Many workers say they need the extra time to pay bills, but experts say it could be hurting their health. Only 48 hours?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, in recognition of graduates pursuing careers in health and science and the teachers who inspired them. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Like many sports, the NBA can be viewed from the perspective of its dominant teams and players. There was a Celtic era and Showtime with the Lakers. We've seen duels between Magic and Bird and between Michael Jordan and everyone. But in the past few years, the NBA hasn't really had one player who dominated or a young star maturing into a superstar. And that's important because a popular player means more revenue for the league. Well, the waiting is officially over. David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. Welcome.
Good morning.
So has the NBA officially entered the dawn of LeBron?
Well, it certainly looks that way, but I think you have to go back. You know, the NBA has been anticipating this. Obviously, Nike has. Nike signed him to a long-term $90 million contract before the draft, before he was the number one pick in the draft in 2003. So I think a lot of people have been anticipating that. Certainly the fans from Cleveland have. But even with all these accolades, I think you have to be very careful. There is only one Michael Jordan. And for any athlete to live up to an icon like that, very, very slippery.
As far as the league is concerned, meaning financially, it doesn't really matter if the Cavaliers win the NBA Finals or not, does it?
Well, I think it matters a great deal. All sports leagues, not just the NBA, really prefer the big market teams do well. And in fact, they also prefer and clamor for their big superstars in the league to be playing for these big branded teams. And that's not quite the case right now. You mentioned in the setup, Los Angeles and Chicago and Boston. I mean, those are top 10 sports and media markets. Well, if you look at San Antonio now and you take a look at Cleveland, these are markets that are way down in terms of the size of their designated market area. And so that's a problem. LeBron James making it in is a little bit of a savior, I think, because now a lot of people are going to want to tune in. A lot of people are very curious about him. And I think casual fans are going to want to check him out. So he's a little bit of a buffer for what otherwise would have been two small market teams playing in the finals.
Whether Cleveland wins it all or not, they're going to have to spend a lot of money in the offseason, aren't they, to build a stronger team around LeBron?
Well, that's a great question. I guess that's why you're sitting in that chair. Because you have to go back and you have to take a look at the NBA salary cap. And the Cavaliers have been very close or slightly over that lately. And so the amount of wiggle room they have under the salary cap might be limited. But where I think it really does pay dividends is athletes at that level, they want to play for a winner. They want to play for a team that's well-managed, well-owned. And to the extent that LeBron is going to be on that team long-term, maybe a tipping point for some free agents that may, you know, if all things being equal in terms of salary, they may want to play in a place like Cleveland if they think that that will generate a championship ring for them.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.